ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट नंबर 6। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज द सिस्टम ऑफ यूनिवर्सल मैनेजमेंट। पालयन्ति प्रजापाला यावदन्तं विभागशः यज्ञभागा भुजो देवा ये च तत्रान्विताश्च तये। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परफॉर्म्ड बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। टू एंजॉय द रिजल्ट्स ऑफ सैक्रिफाइसेस यज्ञस द रूलर्स ऑफ द वर्ल्ड नेमली द सन्स एंड ग्रैंड्स ऑफ द मनु डिस्चार्ज द ऑर्डर्स ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड अंटिल द एंड ऑफ मनुज रेन। The demigods also share the results of these sacrifices. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.2, evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo viduhu. This supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession. And the saintly kings understood it in that way. This parampara system extends from Manu to Ikshvaku and from Ikshvaku to his sons and grandsons. The rulers of the world in a line of hierarchy execute the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the Parampara system. Anyone interested in peaceful life must participate in this Parampara system and perform yajñas. As Gaudiya Vaishnavas in the Parampara system of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we must perform Sankirtan Yajna all over the world. Yajnai Sankirtana Prayar Yajantahi Sumedasha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this age of Kali. And they will be easily satisfied if the Sankirtan movement is spread vigorously all over the world. This will also make people happy without a doubt. Pali. The chapter entitled is The System of Universal Management. So here, Prabhupada is continuing the previous purports, kind of instructing all the devotee readers, especially his followers, about what they are supposed to do in regards to be peaceful and to follow the parampara system. And if we see the universal management, the responsibility of the manus and others, it is not separate from establishing dharma. The whole management is connected to wherein there is unlimited facility for someone or for everyone to be favorably disposed and naturally execute spiritual activities. And that is the expert management of those who are followers of the Vedic order. But on the other hand, the atheistic management is so arranged that whatever you have, whatever opulence, whatever wealth, whatever education we have, all that takes one away from practicing spiritual life easily. It is made in such a way that one feels that spirituality, as in one place Prabhupada mentioned is one of the purport, that people say spirituality is a luxurious affair. Just see that because of the whole organization, whole system is so made that one feels that spiritual life is a luxury. You know, only those who have sufficient, those who have nothing else to do, they take to the path of spirituality. I need to struggle hard. I need to work hard. I need to maintain hard. So this is the contradictory principle of management. All the expert managers, it was arranged in such a way. We were discussing, we had a small japa retreat with our South Bombay counselors. Madan Gopal Prabhu had arranged. And we see that when we chant Hare Krishna or when we take to the path of chanting, yes, of course the conclusion or the aim of chanting Hare Krishna is to achieve love of God. That is a far destination one we have to reach. But the immediate destination is to understand that I am not the controller. When we chant Hare Krishna properly, the first realization comes is that you are not the doer. Because Krishna has arranged this universe in such a way, it is automatic. It works properly as long as human being does not interfere into it. When a living entity with his limited, contaminated intelligence enters into trying to manage something, what does it do? He creates further chaos. And then his false ego, his false understanding that if I don't get involved, if I'm not there, then how the things will run. So therefore, naturally, one keeps away one's connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of chanting, or in the form of hearing, or in the form of associating with devotees, or in the form of worshipping the deities. It becomes the last priority. Why? Because it's involved in all kind of management. Therefore, all these we were discussing in one place, that cell phone. What is cell phone? Cell phone means trying to control from some distant place. Even though it gives the feeling of efficiency, you know, everything is working so nicely, the whole principle is that the trustness, you know, that positivity, okay, whoever is there, whatever they are doing it nicely, is lost. I need to be there. To such an extent, even devotees, if they don't receive phone call from the temple where they are being managers, they feel something wrong. You know, I'm not the controller. Why? Because the very purpose of this kind of machine is designed in such a way to make people falsely identify themselves as the controller. So naturally, when it comes, then our trust in others is minimized as much as possible. So therefore, the cooperative management, Krishna's universe is created in such a way, this has been discussed many times, we see many shortcomings in these universes from a material point of view. Many loopholes are there, many defects are there in regards to Varnashram system, in regards to how the creation is made. The question of karma would never be answered unless we see from Krishna's point of view. Because from our own point of view, the principle of karma looks very inefficient. People ask, why someone is punished after many lifetimes? Whatever he had done in certain lifetime, he is punished after many lifetimes. Doesn't make any sense. You have forgotten about your sinful activity. You have been punished for something which you don't remember, which you have done many lifetime back. How does it function? How does it work? Therefore, Krishna explains in the Gita that the whole principle of karma, karmana gahano gati, the whole principle of karma is so deep, you cannot understand. Krishna says it very clearly. Only those who understand me, they can understand the depth of karma. So when we understand from Krishna's point of view, there is no defect. Rather, it gives the facility to cooperate. My shortcomings are somebody else's resources. Therefore, the equality we see in this world, everybody talks about equality. Everybody needs to get all the resources equally. All human beings should be equally intelligent. You know, the debate about women and men being equal. This is artificial and never will be implemented and executed and not be practiced also. Not possible. Because the very nature of the living entity is made in such a way that there are shortcomings, and therefore he need to go to somebody else to overcome that shortcoming by the principle of begging. Even the highest order, the Brahmanical order, we were in Melukote and one Vaishnava was saying, he said one of the greatest defects of the Brahmanas are their independent thinking. And because they are so independent, they can never be united. And specially among the Vaishnavas, they are more independent. They are independently thoughtful. Krishna has given them brilliant intelligence. So therefore, one act, as our Shaman was mentioning, he said somebody who is very, very expert in translation, he can translate the same statement in 100 different ways. Just imagine what kind of intoxication is that. Someone who does not know how to read, for him, you want to think of translating one, you know, word is so difficult. And somebody is so expert, he can pick up one sentence and totally be intoxicated by naturally thinking about 100 different ways to translate. Just imagine how Krishna has given that intelligence. So naturally, one may see from one point of view, and somebody else may see it from another different point of view. And somebody else will see from a different point of view. Somebody else will see from a different point of view. It is but natural. So rather than talking and quarreling and having a conflict about my point of view, his point of view, their point of view, and never progressing forward, what is the challenge? What is the austerity for a Brahmana? While having such an intelligence to cooperate. That is very difficult. So for someone who has no intelligence, usually people are united for a wrong reason. And people are divided for the wrong reason. When you are united for a wrong reason, that creates a disaster. Like a fly, hundreds of flies, they are united for what? Sucking the pus. On the wound, we will see, if you are exposed to wound in the summer season, no, especially wherever they sell jaggery, some sweet, some sugarcane juice, and somebody is sitting with the wound on his body, what happens? Hundreds of flies come. They are united. They are all one. Their purpose is one. But what is it? Such unity only causes disease. Therefore, it is not only the question of unity, but what is the purpose of unity? So the Brahmanas have the right understanding why we should be united, but they see different perception, this different way to do, therefore they are always divided. They are unlimitedly divided. Vaishnavas, that is the biggest challenge for a Brahmana. And for a Kshatriya also same thing, because he wants to rule. And why does he want to rule? He wants to rule so that he can establish dharma, he can do a lot of charity. If you read in the Mahabharata, very clearly it is mentioned that the desire to expand the kingdom, the primary reason for a Kshatriya who is established in dharma, so that he can expand his resources, increase the resources so he can give more and more charity. And that's what used to cause war. No other reason. That would cause war. Okay, I want to offer more charity. So therefore we see that when the intelligent people are not united, that is the disease. Therefore competitive management will naturally create threat, fear. And because of that, one is always alert about his material surrounding and forgets to be alert of devotional surrounding. So therefore, in the Ramayana, very interesting point, of course mentioned in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam also, emergence is one thing, but something becomes an everyday affair, then there is imbalance. Then all the sages, when Lord Ram was in the forest of Chitrakut and he was moving towards Dandakaranya forest, the sages approached Lord Ram and they said that, you know, that we are trying to perform our sacrifice, our tapasya, but then the problem is many times these demons, they come and we become their food. They just pick up the sages and eat them up. So in this way, we are not able to perform sacrifice. So therefore, as a Kshatriya, we are requesting you to help us perform our sacrifice properly by punishing these demons. Sometimes you would always wonder that why the sages cannot protect themselves. They have unlimited strength. They are very powerful. They acquired unlimited tapasya, the power of tapasya. Simply by the curse, they can undo the activities of the demons. And the answer is given. The sages themselves told Lord Ram, actually we can handle our own selves. We can curse this demon, but we have not come here to perform the activities of punishment. We have come here to purify ourselves. We have come here to practice non-violence. We have come here to practice the principle of daya. If we keep on using our tapasya to kill the demons, what happens? All of the benefit of tapasya is destroyed in killing the demons. In this way, our very purpose of coming will be destroyed. When anga had a son, Vena. On an emergency basis, the Brahmanas killed him. But again, when there was, the whole system was destroyed because there was no king, the robbers, thugs started looting. So they started churning the body of Vena. Why? Because they said, it is not our responsibility to handle management. We are here to help manage by becoming spiritually advanced. It is not our responsibility. So that's what the sages told Lord Ram, we could do it, but we are not supposed to do. Therefore, in the battle of Kurukshetra, when Dronacharya was going beyond his occupational duty of a teacher, a Brahmana can teach archery, but he cannot be an archer. A Brahmana can teach, but Brahmana should not desire to become a famous person. He can make many famous people, but he himself cannot become a very famous person. It goes against the nature of his lifestyle. So in Dronacharya is going beyond his culture of being a Brahmana, being a teacher, becoming worse than a Kshatriya. Why? Because a Kshatriya has a limited capacity. He may have unlimited weapons, divine weapons. But a Brahmana has a greater facility in the form of cursing people. When a Brahmana curses, you can imagine when a Brahmana identifies, these are my enemies, and he has the power to use the weapons, and he has the power to use his tongue also, he can create greater damage. Therefore, all the sages started telling Dronacharya, don't, this is not your responsibility. Quit. Get down from this battle. And he was not willing to listen. So therefore, Bhima had to come and condemn his own teacher. I said, this is not what you are supposed to do. You are so attached. You are a personification of irreligion. Even though your son is dead and you are still fighting. And when somebody does not act according to one's occupational duty, one gets bewildered. Dronacharya knew that his son is Chiranjeev. Chiranjeev means one who has a long life. It was known to everybody. Ashwatthama was a Chiranjeev. Father would naturally know about this. But when he repeatedly heard that your son is dead, your son is dead, even though he knew that he cannot be dead, why did he get confused? Because he was not acting according to his natural dharma. And therefore that attachment led him to go and ask Yudhishthira Maharaj. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, with great hesitation, as a king, he cannot act as a Brahmana. Here the confusion was Dronacharya is acting as a Kshatriya, and Yudhishthira Maharaj hesitating to act as a Kshatriya, and he was acting as a Brahmana. So therefore there was great confusion. So Krishna had to force Yudhishthira Maharaj, for the sake of establishing dharma, you have taken the role of a Kshatriya. Kshatriya means diplomacy is guaranteed. Again, in the Mahabharata it is explained that one Kshatriya told one sage, he said, the nature of a Kshatriya is that he speaks very sweetly. Our politicians, they are very good speakers. If they could speak Krishna Katha, like our Akrur Prabhu, he works for the, he's a bureaucrat. He works with a high level minister. And he was presenting the principle of health for our villagers in Marathi language. And he's a great speaker. And the chief minister was sitting. After the lecture was over, he said, you join our party immediately. He said, you join because you're such a good speaker. We need a lot of good speakers who can actually convince people about our agenda. He said, immediately offered him, you join. You join our party. We will use you to give talks. So the nature of a Kshatriya is that he's a very sweet talker. As if his tongue is filled with honey. But what is his nature inside? Hard. He's, sharp. He's willing to kill people for any given time. A Brahmana, the Brahmana's nature is that he is very sharp-tongued, can't speak sweetly to anybody. He believes in the principle of straight talk, as it is. We don't have to be diplomat. Whatever comes and whatever is the reality, just speak it. But what does it do? It creates a surgery. People get hurt. But a Brahmana cannot hold, doesn't hold anything inside his heart. He is easily forgiving. So therefore, every ashram, every varna has its benefits, every varna has its defects. And that's how Krishna is created. Therefore, cooperation becomes an emergency. Cooperation becomes, you know, a requirement. Otherwise, one cannot progress anywhere. Therefore, in the Niti, it is explained that wherever you go, in whichever part of the world, you will meet four kinds of people. It is unavoidable. One is that you will have friends. It is guaranteed. You will have enemies. And you have neutral people. They have nothing to do with you. And the fourth, people want to help you. You cannot avoid it. However, nice person you are, in this world, you cannot avoid. Even with Krishna, in the sacrifice of Yudhishthira Maharaj, Rajya sacrifice, when they selected Krishna to be worshipped, immediately there were four kinds of people, at least three. One was the Duryodhan, Shishupal and others. And Shishupal was of course aggressive and enemy, and some people were acting neutral. No, we don't want to take this side, we don't want to take that side, because if Shishupal actually is overpowers Krishna, then we will take Shishupal's side. But if Krishna overpowers Shishupal and we take Shishupal's side, then our life will be over. So they were just waiting. So they were acting neutral. And the Pandavas acted as friends of Krishna. Yudhishthira Maharaj rose. Bhima got up. Sahadev got up. Bhima said, you know, I'll make holes in the tongue of Shishupal for speaking this. This is not a tongue. This requires piercing his tongue, making holes, because he's speaking all nasty things. He was ready to pounce and kill him. Immediately we see, even for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not everybody's friend. There are some neutral people. He said, we know, we not this, not that. You know, we are not against him, but at the same time, we don't want to worship. And what to speak of the living entities? It is natural in this world. We cannot have everything favorable for us. The whole purpose of our life is to live within these obstacles, including the obstacles of having too many favorable people. They cause intoxication. The concept of everybody being nice to you, what does it do? It stucks us to this material world. We become attached to the surrounding of this material world. The emergency to go back to the spiritual world never arises. As Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, only he is not attached to this world. He is not attached to any relationship. Even though he comes to this world, he is attached to his devotees, but the principle for the sadhakas is that to live in such a way, in the first cant of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Kunti departed, you know, leaving her children, Prabhupada explains in the purport that the Pandavas were not outside the purview of devotional service. Attachment to devotees is not the, it is not outside the purview of devotional service. But still, at the right time, what Kunti did, she separated herself and she walked away to the forest along with Gandhari and Dhritarashtra to intensify her devotional service at the right time. To realize that I am not the doer. So therefore, here we see the universal management. The Bhagavatam style of management is that you manage in such a way that your own spiritual life is not disturbed, other spiritual life is not disturbed. Rather, you create such a facility that chanting becomes a natural habit. It is not a struggle, like we were discussing last time, that our whole energy is invested in saying no to Maya. This whole material world, the modern world, is created in such a way that all our energy is invested, if we are sane, if you want to remain sane, if you want to practice spirituality, most of the time our energy is invested in where? No, 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 no to Maya. So many things have been created. So because of such surrounding, such circumstance, even in Vrindavan, you know, the land of Krishna, so much of modernism has come. So wherever you walk, you don't see trees, Kadamba vrikshas. You don't see Tamal vrikshas. You don't see tulsi trees. You see tulsi residential complex. There is no tulsi only the namesake tulsi. So therefore, to remain peaceful and practice devotional service becomes very difficult. That is the wrong management. Therefore, Prabhupada explained, one devotee was showing it to me. He said, all purpose of management so that we have enough time to chant Hare Krishna. And not only 16 rounds, more rounds. But how can we chant more rounds when we have to do so many management? At least we think that I need to do so much of management. And if I don't do it, to become successful, to be competitive, having competency, and to do something rightly, and not to fail, another disease of a conditioned soul. A shameless people, yes, a shameless person has no responsibility. So therefore, for him to be failing does not bother. But someone is intelligent, someone is very responsible, and someone is always interested in becoming successful, what happens to him? That is more concerned. Like we were discussing in our meeting, Krishna Prabhu mentioned that chanting, nobody inquires. Nobody is going to ask questions. No, that did you chant? Did you chant nicely? Nobody is going to fire you out because you didn't chant your Hare Krishna mantra. Nobody is going to give you a pink sheet that you have not chanted your rounds properly. We are not responsible for chanting in one sense to our surrounding. We are responsible to Guru and Krishna, but Guru and Krishna are not going to ask us every day. They are very compassionate, very kind. Even if you keep 600 rounds, you can continue chanting. But in regards to management, everybody is watching you. If you fail, it is whose failure? It is your personal failure. You failed. Therefore, you'll be fried. You'll be fired from the job. So because of this, the whole system is so arranged that when we fail, like our Burijan Prabhu told this story, very interesting story. There was a pack of dogs and they saw one rabbit. And the leader of the dogs started chasing this rabbit. And he kept on chasing. Eventually the rabbit went inside the bush and escaped. And this dog came back, you know, unsuccessful, in front of his followers. And naturally, they started barking at him, saying that, oh, you lost it, you couldn't get it, it was a failure on your part. But that this dog was a philosopher. So this dog said, he said, my dear friends, I was running for my meal, and the rabbit was running for his life. Naturally, he was more desperate than me. So very nice story. So wherever there is great desperation for whatever, our attention goes to that place only. And it is all a kind of mind's game to think that somebody has given me the responsibility. I don't want to do it. This is another illusion. We do not do anything in this world unless we like it. However difficult it is, if somebody has the nature to do something, you know, it does it. We don't have to blame others. My authority, my guru, my counselor, and my, you know, temple president, my temple commander. No, if you are doing something every day in, day out, we are burning because of that. But because we like it, and therefore we do it. So there is no point in blaming others. Oh, because they told, therefore I am doing. At the ultimate analysis, if you see, that we are only doing it because we like to do it. That's all. So therefore, one of the most important principle of chanting, as Prabhupada mentions, he gives the instruction to all the followers, that by spreading the holy name, how do you spread the holy name? We only spread the holy name if we chant properly. We can only offer others as much as we believe. We can only offer as much as we enjoy. We can offer only as much as we experience. Of course, others, they can go beyond us by keeping us aside in their life. Okay, you have given me this much, now I need to further progress in spiritual life. They make greater advancement. But if they stuck to us, they continue to remain with us, then we can only help them as much as we are helping ourselves by practicing the process of devotional service, especially the chanting of the holy name, reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deities, you know, and residing in the holy place. As much deeper we go, that much we can offer it to others. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is such a science, it can be experienced within our own life. And when we experience that properly, honestly, you know, the ideal standard and where we stand, the gap what creates between our level and the ideal standard, realizing that gap is called sincerity. And that is the path. The sincerity is the path to achieve the ideal standard. Without sincerity, we cannot progress. And sincerity means to know, where do I stand? And I am responsible for whatever is happening in my life. Nobody else is responsible. Like one Prabhupada disciple made the point, what is institution? Sometimes we blame, oh, institution is like that, institution is like that. But institution is nothing but collection of people. If there are less advanced people, more number of less advanced people, more the trouble. If there are more number of advanced people, it is better. So in this way, when we help others by helping ourselves, by becoming, going deeper into Krishna consciousness and becoming that kind of managers, as Manus were the managers, their grandchildren were the management, and whenever that management was disturbed, as Prabhupada explained in the previous purports, then again the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes. That we have to understand. Yada yadai dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. According to Krishna, whenever whole system starts collapsing, we don't have to worry. We do our best, because when it is beyond our reach, then the Lord comes or Lord sends his representative. Because not everybody can become like what great people become. If you can become good follower, somebody told that story that a teacher was taking an interview of the students, asking, you know, about leadership. And then I think 400 students appeared and everybody wrote that I want to be a leader. And they were all rejected. Only one student wrote that I want to be a follower, and he was selected to be a leader. Because to lead, you know, could be easy in one sense. You have to exploit people. But to follow is the most difficult thing. To assist is the most difficult thing. If a Mahaprabhu's philosophy, or any Vaishnava philosophy for that matter, talks about servant of the servant of the servant. Yesterday, Karuna Sindhu was showing me one name of Srimati Radharani. Very interesting name. The name is Sevada. Right? What is it? Right? Sevada. Sevada means her nature is to give service. Narada, similarly Sevada, one who gives service to the living entities, to accept the position of a servant in any rasadi, whether you are in Madhuryaras, Sakhyaras, Vatsalyaras, Dasyaras, the underlying principle is the principle of servitorship, assisting. And those who don't want to assist, you know, they have to stay in this material world and do bad management and cause problem to everybody. So very interesting chapter. Few verses are there. And Prabhupada's purport is mostly focusing on directly talking to his devotee audience than the outside audience. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, Krishna Prabhu.
Thank you, Govind Prabhu. Very nice class. I remember that I had, when we had visited a BBT office, and we had, you know, after we interacted with the devotees for a few days, we were told that the rule in that office is that you are not supposed to bring your japamala during your office time. Like, people are supposed to work from 9 o'clock to 6 o'clock. So during that time, you're not supposed to bring a japmala. You're supposed to finish your rounds before or after. So, I mean, I was just thinking as you were giving your presentation that somehow the whole purpose is that whenever we get some free time, we should be engaging. And I would see that devotees, you know, they would be doing so many other activities, you know, not necessarily doing their job, you know, talking on the phone or, you know, playing some computer games even, just to, in order to pass away their time, and which could have been actually ideally utilized for chanting their rounds. So when I inquired, I was told that, you know, the perception among the devotees would be that if you are chanting during office hours, then it means that you're not adequately focused on your management. You know, you're not sufficiently. And others looking at you chanting will think that you're not such a good manager. You know, you're not able to, you're not, you know, performing your function properly. So because of that perception, you are forbidden to chant during office hours. So what would be your comments for this?
You want me to comment on BBT? I could support them in one way, that usually when we have a bad management of chanting, 16 rounds could be, of course we are not talking about finishing, but as a responsibility of fulfilling the vows given to the spiritual master, you know, and also doing our responsible services. Usually people stretch their 16 rounds to more than 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, mixing up again. You know, somebody asked, Prabhupada said, he said, do you think Arjuna was chanting Hare Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? How was he thinking of Krishna? Was he chanting Hare Krishna? But at the same time, if you read in the Mahabharata, even during the battle, all the Kshatriyas, quite amazing, they never gave up their sandhya. They would spend enough time worshipping the deities, including the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the battle would not start before the sun would rise, and the battle would stop after the sun would set. Very clear understanding was there. Who was staying? Madan Gopal was mentioning that, and this was reality also in India, maybe about 20 years back, all shops would close in the afternoon. Right? All shops. From 1 to 4, it was compulsory they would close. They would not think, okay, I need to make money, I need to keep it open. Now this whole mentality, what to speak of, opening whole night, those times they never thought that you can keep the whole shop 24 hours open. It's a very demonic concept. Therefore, mixing up things, usually devotees, when they are supposed to do their service, they say, I need to chant Hare Krishna. And when they are supposed to chant Hare Krishna, they say, I need to go to bathroom. So when there is a mixed things, when you are supposed to do what you are supposed to do, and when you don't do, then you become a bewildered devotee. That is one way to look at. You know, sometimes this happens. So therefore, you don't get your things, either you are chanting nicely or your management nicely. Maybe that was their experience. No, that is one way to look. And secondly, that at least my personal experience is that you cannot do two things. So therefore, if you are doing management, I at least can't chant Hare Krishna while doing management. Okay, let me chant one round now in between management. So now that's a different, you know, that is a different time to chant. Somebody can do it, you know, in between their management, chanting Hare Krishna. Sometimes some sannyasis in the GBC meeting, when the meeting is going on, they're continuously writing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You don't need to have a bead bag only. You know, you can type on the computer rather than playing a computer game. Type Hare Krishna mantra. So therefore, there is so many ways to be still connected to Krishna, even if your bead bag is not allowed. Like one devotee was offering obeisance to another devotee. You know, younger devotee said, no, how can you do this? You know, you are my senior. And the senior said, I've already decided to offer you obeisances. I've done it. And I heard another verse actually, is there in the Shastra, you know, sometime when devotees do wrong behavior, like stealing somebody's flowers from somebody's garden, offering it to Krishna, This was a typical bus party when they would go, you know, they have deities, you know, or they have a temple and the garden is not there, and the neighbors have a garden and the neighbors are not devotees. And you say, okay, let me steal. After all, I am doing it for Krishna. The Shastra says, you don't need to do that. At any condition, stealing is not permitted. You just within your mind offer all that flowers to Krishna, Krishna accepts it. There are so many ways while keeping the civil behavior properly, not causing confusion to outsiders. Justifying my wrong behavior in the name of Krishna will take away people from Krishna consciousness. My practice of devotional service is making others not to come to Krishna consciousness. It's a wrong practice. Making atheistic people by my theistic behavior. I want to offer it. My deities are there. I will offer it to the deities. But in term, what I am doing? I am teaching people and I am justifying. I am doing it for Krishna. You are doing it for nonsense purpose. Shastra says, no. If you don't have flowers to offer and somebody is not giving you, you cannot steal. At least the normal devotee should not do it. An advanced devotee does it. He has the ability to handle, you know, stealing and not get the reaction. But the normal devotees, let us say that you just offer it within your mind. Krishna, all this flower belongs to you. Is there in the, I think, Govind Ghosh and, Ramchandra Kaviraj's brother, Govind Kaviraj. He was a devotee of Durga. And he had a huge garden. And naturally, he would not want it to give it to Krishna. He wanted to give it to Durga. So his brother offered it to Krishna within his mind. And Durga accepted it as what? As a Mahaprasad. He said, now the offering is much better. Even though he plucked it directly from the flower garden, but it was already offered to Krishna. Krishna has the power to accept, not necessarily only when it comes to altar. He can accept it from anywhere if our intention is right and we don't cause confusion. Therefore, someone was mentioning that when there is an aggressive behavior for good purpose or bad purpose, both are bad. One has to, in the normal course of activities. If there is an emergency means once, very rarely. If emergency becomes everyday affair, then that is very dangerous. Like Burijan Prabhu answered Gopinathan Prabhu's question, you know, when he was giving that Japa seminar about how Prabhupada established the mission. And he said, yes, he established the mission. During that time it was an emergency. But if emergency becomes everyday affair, then there is a mistake in our management structure. Emergency means emergency, which happens very rarely. You know, Dwapar, Treta, Kali and Satya, you know, they come. Only once in the first canon is mentioned that the Treta overlapped with Dwapar. Treta came first, Dwapar came afterwards. Usually Dwapar comes first and Treta comes just before Kali Yuga. It happened for some unknown reason. It happened rarely. Most of the time the universe is functioning so systematically, very rarely something happens. Very rarely. So one cannot hold Krishna responsible. Oh, just see, this is what happening. No. If you see, those who read Panchang can know when the sun is going to rise, when the sun is going to set for the whole year. Now, can we glorify those who read or can we glorify those who make it? Yes, those who are expert in reading, we are marveling at them. Amazing how they read. But just imagine how Krishna is arranged. You can predict sunrise and sunset year before in Panchang, when the sun is going to rise, when the sun is going to set. It never functions wrongly. Why? Because they know what to do at what time. Therefore, the sages was a very interesting, which I never thought. I would always had this question, how could sages get killed when they are practicing their spiritual life? No, how can they be killed like that? But they had very clear understanding. We can do it, we can undo it. But our purpose is not to compromise with our spiritual life and get destroy our tapasya by cursing. Sometimes devotees, we discussed this before also, you know, if some devotee treats us badly, a younger devotee, we say, okay, I'm a senior, you don't understand, I'll curse you, that your spiritual life will be destroyed. And if actually something goes bad to him, and if that devotee is taking pleasure and saying, "Isko maine shaap diya, iske liye aisa ho gaya uska," what kind of Vaishnava is he? That he is taking pleasure in seeing that his curses is coming true, and warning others, "If you behave wrongly with me, I will also curse you." Haridas Thakur, on the other hand, you know, he was so concerned because of me. In the Ramayana, one of the qualities of Lord Ram is explained that when he was going to the forest, he was crying. Why was he crying? Was he crying because he was afraid of going to the forest? He was crying because he was feeling, because I am the son of Mother Kaushalya, she has to go through so much of pain. I am responsible for, you know, her suffering. She is suffering because of me. You know, so therefore he was also feeling sorry for, you know, Kaushalya, that because of me she has to suffer, because I am her son. I don't want to cause any pain to her. So here this is the feeling of the Supreme Lord. And how can a devotee ever talk, you know, say that, you know, I curse you if you behave this way with me. Because of this is what's happening with you. And see and take pleasure. Ki mere saath mein aisa kiya, he did not behave properly with me. And therefore this is happening to him. And giving a conclusion, giving a confirmation to other devotees, that is nothing but height of arrogance on the part of a devotee to say that. You know, somebody is ruining his life because he did wrong to me, and therefore Krishna is correcting him. Here Ramchandra and Haridas Thakur are thinking totally separate, different. That is Vaishnavism. So therefore, you know, the understanding is that when we don't mix up things, act according to our swabhava, our dharma, our occupation, then things actually function properly. Once Giriraj Maharaj is mentioning, as a spiritual society, rather than becoming Brahmanical, we become Vaishya tendency. You know, manage, always thinking from profit point of view. Like somebody, when we were breaking down our Bhaktivedanta hall, somebody said, "Maharaj, you know," we told Radhanath Maharaj, "Maharaj, this, you're breaking. How much money is being lost? You know, making into one big hall where you could use it as a four hall." He said, "If you see from that point of view, the whole temple hall is so big. High ceiling. So much of space is wasted. And we are using only on Sundays." He said, "You cannot see only from, you know, one of the politicians when he stopped liquor in one of the states. So this liquor man, he went and talked to the chief minister. Look, because you have stopped, so much of loss your government will incur. So much money will be lost. But if you again introduce liquor, this much profit will come." So this man said very clearly, he said, "It is not only about the money. You know, it's not only about profit and loss. There is something higher also. There is something higher also in life." He said, "You cannot only think about money point of view. Cannot be identifying everything based upon loss and gain. Loss and gain. Therefore, in the Shastra, it is mentioned that when knowledge is sold, knowledge is a value." Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, there is nothing pure than knowledge. Api chetasi papebhya sarvebhya papakritama sarva jnana plave naiva. Knowledge is so great, it destroys all the sin. But when you value knowledge, okay, I buy this knowledge for this much of money, then what happens? Money becomes higher than knowledge. And that causes greatest contamination. Therefore, Mahabharata explains, anybody who sells knowledge, selling knowledge means very dangerous. And now we see, anybody can buy anyone. Most intelligent IT guy, most intelligent MBA, they sell themselves. "I am available. Can you pay me this much?" There is no loyalty. So that is the culture. When that culture is there, you become a sellable commodity. You are valuable. What? "I pay you this much. Can you be mine?" "Yes, I can be yours. You buy me." No, a Brahmana would never sell himself. So therefore, in such a situation, to chant Hare Krishna nicely is very difficult. Therefore, the whole Vedic management is managed such a way that less of management and more of spiritual practice. Whether it is a king, whether it is Manu, or whether it is rishis, or the sadhus managing their matas. Sometime, you know, I feel, we as a brahmachari staying in the temple, managing, do more management than the outside people. They do less management, they have nice life, enjoying more outings, more parties, more watching cricket. And the devotees are bugged with management. But if they take out their time, knowing very well, when you hold japa and chant Hare Krishna, first thing, when you chant nicely, what do you realize? Actually, I am not the doer. Krishna is the doer. We'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai.